What will it be? A resurrection unto life because your sins are forgiven and Jesus rose from the dead? Or will it be a resurrection unto torment because you reject his free gift? But if you're willing to lose your life, you will gain eternal life. Turning to him in repentance, he will save you.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day. And I have a phone comment from Everett in Idaho. He said, I really enjoy the teaching. He does a great job. Thank you so much. And I have another phone comment from Mrs. Smith in New Jersey. She says, we are listening with great enthusiasm. We appreciate your verse-by-verse teaching. Thank you. Well, Everett and Mrs. Smith, thank you so much for your encouragement. It is such a blessing to hear from our listeners that God is using his word to encourage you and build you up. Now, with this in mind, I'd like to invite every one of our listeners to VCY's 65th Radio Anniversary Rally on Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. at the Waukesha Expo Center. I'd love to see you there. Admission is free, and I'm going to be teaching the Word of God, and we're going to be celebrating God's faithfulness with 65 years of VCY broadcast ministry.
And Greg, for many believers, the results of Christ's death on the cross are well known. He paid for our sins, he conquered death, and we can be forgiven. But there's a danger here.
You know, Dave, the danger is this, that this incredible truth can become commonplace. It can become so familiar that the wonder, the awe, and the unbelievable sacrifice can become like background noise to our busy daily lives. So today, we're going to once again look directly at what the Lord's death on the cross accomplished for us. And it is my prayer that it will inspire and encourage you in your faith in Jesus Christ. Our passage is Matthew chapter 27, verses 51 to 54.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And then on the third day when Christ was raised, they were raised too, and they came out of the tombs and appeared to many. They entered the city. It's my belief that that's what happened because the resurrection is associated with his resurrection throughout the Word of God. And I think grammatically that is what is being said here. But it is linked to the death of Christ, the death of Christ. And then we have that phrase after his resurrection, after his resurrection. Now, folks, the text doesn't tell us how long they've been dead. This is only in Matthew, by the way. It doesn't say how long they've been dead. It doesn't tell us if they were raised like Lazarus to die again. It doesn't tell us if they were raised and glorified. It doesn't tell us. What we do know is that in direct correlation to Christ's death and resurrection, we have this miraculous event, which points to the reality of Jesus' death and resurrection, in which all believers too will be raised from the dead. Folks, the forgiveness of sins is wonderful. But if there is no deliverance from death and no resurrection, everything is in vain. But since Christ was raised, we too will be raised. Since Christ defeated death and was victorious, we are victorious through faith in Christ. Let me share a couple passages. Turn to John chapter 11, verse 21. We have Martha speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the death of Lazarus, her brother. Verse 21, my brother would not have died. He talks about that if Jesus was there. Verse 22, even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you, she shares with the Lord. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. John 11, 24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection the last day. Boy, she is a believer. She knows the word of God. She believes it. But now the Lord will give her more revelation. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me shall live even if he dies. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. It is all based on Christ. When you trust in Jesus Christ, you too will be raised. And we see, he says to her, "And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Jesus says. And I ask you, do you believe this? She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ," that's the Messiah, "you are the Son of God, that he is God, even he who comes into the world." Jesus is the resurrection. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have a long discourse on the resurrection. We won't read all of it, but I want to point out a few portions. The Apostle Paul has made clear of first and foremost that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared. As you look at 1 Corinthians 15, there were those at this time that were saying the resurrection won't take place. And so Paul makes a case for the superiority and the absolute importance of the resurrection of Christ for our resurrections. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we witnessed against God that he raised him whom he did not raise." And that's hypothetical. "If in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins." He had to raise. That it proved that everything he said was true, that he was the Son of God, and he was declared to be the Son of God with glory through the resurrection of the dead. And notice what he says, "Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ for this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied." But look at this, verse 20. "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man," that's Adam, "came death, by a man also came the resurrection from the dead," that's Christ. "For in Adam all die, the wages of sin is death. Also in Christ all shall be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after those who are his," or Christ at his coming. And then if you go down to verse 53, notice these wonderful words. "For this perishable," that's this flesh here, "will put on the imperishable, and the mortal," that's this, "will put on immortality. Then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Blessed be the God and Father who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Friend, the wages of sin is death, but Jesus died for your sins, and he rose from the dead. He conquered both sin and death." And we have the Lord God here symbolically showing through the resurrection of these saints. Notice they're saints. He didn't just resurrect anyone, he resurrected believers. Through the resurrection of these saints tied to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the barrier torn in two, that access to God has been granted through Christ, through the forgiveness of sins by faith in Christ. And we have the result that our sins are taken care of, and that death has been defeated, and that we will too be raised in newness of life. God is visibly testifying with miraculous to what he has done through the death of Christ. "Now I declare to you also that there will be a resurrection for those who reject Christ. This will not be a good resurrection." Daniel 12:2. "And many of those who sleep in the dust and the ground will wake, to those everlasting life, but others to disgrace and everlasting contempt." And if you read Revelation chapter 20 on your own time, verses 12 to 15, the great white throne judgment, there's going to be a resurrection. The souls of those in Hades awaiting punishment will be resurrected with the bodies, and they will be thrown into the lake of fire to be punished forever. This is the second death. But Jesus died for you to deliver you from sin and death if you trust in him completely. What will it be? A resurrection unto life because your sins are forgiven and Jesus rose from the dead? Or will it be a resurrection unto torment, the second death, because you reject his free gift, because you want to remain in your pride, you don't want to acknowledge your sin, you want your life? Well, you will lose your life. But if you're willing to lose your life, you will gain eternal life. If you come to Christ with an honest heart concerning your sin, acknowledging that before him, believing that he died and paid the price and rose from the dead, turning to him in repentance, he will save you. So then we have Matthew relaying two miraculous events directly tied to the death of Christ. First of all, the veil symbolically torn from top to bottom. So this, not symbolically, really torn from top to bottom, symbolically revealing that the separation between God and man has been taken away through Christ. And then secondly, we see that Christ has conquered death. That as he died, the tombs were opened, and when he raised, believers were raised and appeared. Death no longer has any sting. And lastly, I think we're going to see through an example that the Son of God's death brings salvation. In response to all that the centurion will see has seen, I believe he trusts in Christ. Back to our passage. I'm going to read through the whole thing from verse 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded his spirit. He died. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split and the tombs were open and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, "Truly this was the Son of God." Matthew gives us an account of those who were keeping guard, these Roman soldiers over Jesus. Now, most likely, usually there were four Roman soldiers. Here we have a centurion, that is one who is in charge of 100 soldiers. But there may have been more soldiers since Jesus, they might have feared that someone might have come and forcefully take Jesus down to deliver him, so they might have had more soldiers. We do not know. But what we do know is what the passage says. Now the centurion, verse 54, and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened. Now remember, this centurion was probably a hardened Roman soldier. And I say this because his job involved crucifying and killing people, breaking their legs, putting them, nails through their hands and feet. This was a hardened Roman soldier. But notice what happens. Our text says they became very frightened. Have you ever been very frightened? They were very frightened. Now remember, this centurion had probably seen most of the entire event with Jesus from the beginning. He most likely saw Jesus' righteous response to the accusations of being a seditious king. He most likely heard Pilate's multiple admissions that he was innocent. He certainly was aware that Herod had sent him back, revealing his innocence also. He was involved with that cohort in the mocking of Jesus, the King of the Jews. The whole cohort was there. He was involved in bringing Jesus to the cross and nailing him to the cross. He probably heard much of what Jesus said on the cross. Remember what Jesus said when they were nailing him, when they were putting him on the cross? Forgive them, speaking of those Roman soldiers, for they do not know what they're doing. What a gracious God. He witnessed 3 hours of darkness. He had been assigned to witness and watch over the prisoner and unknowingly had witnessed the crucifixion of the Son of God, who had declared, "It is finished," and cried out loudly, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And he died. Now our text reveals that they were frightened when they saw the earthquake that happened immediately when Jesus died. They became very frightening. And folks, it is a frightening reality when you encounter the living God. It is a frightening reality, recognizing who he really is and who you really are. Now in Luke chapter 23, take a look at this. Luke chapter 23 verse 47. We see the centurion share something else. And we'll also look at Matthew 15. Now when the centurion saw all that happened, he began praising God. We'll talk about that in a minute. Saying, certainly this man was innocent. Luke 23, 47. Certainly this man was innocent. The centurion was frightened and he acknowledges he was innocent. But we have even more in the book of Mark. Turn to Mark chapter 15, verse 37. Now while you're turning there, our view of the cross is that they were way up high and the person was really high. I don't believe that's the case. I believe they were no higher than someone who could put something on a reed and reach someone's mouth. They were much closer to the ground than we would think from the movies that you've probably seen. And notice what we see in Mark chapter 15, verse 37. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who was standing, look at this, right in front of him, saw the way he breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. We have each gospel writer relaying different elements of what this centurion said. He said he was innocent. He said he was the Son of God. He was frightened. When he saw the way he breathed his last, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He was right there looking right at him. This is an amazing omission from a Roman pagan that Jesus is the Son of God. It's an amazing admission. God the Son. And I believe from the fact that the centurion witnessed everything, including the Lord's conversations, possibly even when he led the one thief to himself who would be with him in paradise, acknowledging that he was innocent and that he was the Son of God, I believe this hardened Roman soldier came to faith in Christ. And can I say that for sure? Take a look back at Luke 23, verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what happened, he began praising, or the word praising, we get it doxazomai, we get this word glorifying from. He began glorifying God. This is a pagan Roman soldier who would believe in multiple gods. He began glorifying God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. It's my belief that he came to faith. Now, none of us have been there. Not one of us were standing right in front of him. Not one of us saw everything from the beginning to the end. Not one of us heard the things that Christ spoke during that time. Not one of us did. But we have heard it with the eyes of faith from the Word of God. We have heard the Lord's inspired word to Matthew, revealing that the death of Christ on our behalf brought about the forgiveness of sins and broke the barrier between God and man. We have heard and seen from the scriptures that because of his death, that those who are saints will be raised, exemplified by those on that day that were raised when he was raised. And we've seen a personal illustration of one who acknowledges his innocence, who was frightened and fearing the reality of who God really was, and acknowledges he was the Son of God and began praising, glorifying God. Where are you today? Do you realize you're a sinner? That you are separated from a holy God no matter how you feel? There's a lot of people doing a lot of religious stuff, feeling really great about their relationship with God. That doesn't matter. God says that sin causes a separation. Do you realize that? There's no activity that can bring you closer. Coming here doesn't bring you close to God at all if you don't know Christ. It doesn't do it at all. There is one person who can bridge the gap. It is the person of God who took on human flesh. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's our last passage. Verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. You see, God the Son took on human flesh, and in his humanity, he bore our sins in his body on the cross. He paid the penalty for you and I. He is the perfect substitute. He paid it for us. And Jesus calls upon you to repent in your sins and believe in him, and you will have eternal life through the forgiveness of sins and a relationship with the living God. Cry out to him. There is a wall between you and God, and that wall only gets worse. When you die, that wall will include eternal punishment. You'll be separated from him forever in torment. But Christ tore the barrier of sin down. And if you trust in him, you will have access to a living God. You'll have a relationship with the living God. Well, believer, how are we to respond? We need to respond in fear and awe, praising God. We take what Christ did so lightly. We come to church and we flippantly sing songs about him. That should not be our heart. We should be worshiping and reverencing and giving him honor and glory to his name. Do you realize the price that was paid for you and I? It was the body of Christ. Christ died for us. We ought to be working out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing the price that was paid. Like the Apostle Peter says, it was paid with the sinless, spotless blood of Christ. We weren't redeemed with perishable things. We should be responding and praising him for his great love. And lastly, we should be drawing near with confidence. The barrier's down. We can come before the living God anytime. Since then, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean of an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your son Jesus Christ for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your son. And it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.